Blog Talk Radio.
The best show on the internet. Welcome to the war room. We got Taz, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five showing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, sort of war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yes, sir. What up, everybody? It's Thursday, September 29th, 2011, and we'd like to welcome you to another episode of your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here at the round table with my brothers Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. Tonight, we're going to update you on the NBA lockout, discuss NFL Week 3, a wacky, dramatic MLB wildcard race, and we'll get you ready for the MLB playoffs. Get into the chat room and join that conversation at blogtalkradio.com/the war room or join us on Facebook or Twitter right now. And we want you to call in when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline and share your thoughts. That number is 323-410-0012. Quick shout out to the Broad Street line. Check out Roy and Chris every Wednesday at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. But right now, the blueprint is going to shout out them birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
What's up, fellas? How are you?
Chilling, chilling.
Chilling, home skillet. Right. Chilling like a tin chiller in Chile. Even chili.
I heard that. Let's get it started. First birthday is one Bryant Charles Gumbel, who turned 63.
My birthday, yay!
Start with you, Dev. Bryant Gumbel.
Bryant Gumbel, a real sportsman. That's funny because the biggest memory I have of Bryant Gumbel is not even sports related. He was actually the keynote speaker at my graduation from undergrad. And, you know, being at a black school, he had just, like, left his wife for a white woman, so a lot of people was feeling kind of iffy about his speech. But his speech was all that. And if you know what year that was, you know I didn't graduate on time, so don't judge me. Holla.
Ah, shout out to the HBCUs.
H-U?
We all did the HBCUs. So, you know, anyway, Doc Bay.
Yo, the interesting thing is, yo, those dudes, to be 63, like, man, he's keeping himself, I guess, in good shape. But other than that, wasn't he the one that messed up the field goal? Like, he made it. Oh, no, he didn't. Wasn't that him?
I don't remember. I heard that so much that I don't even know. I have no clue.
No, it was a commentator. It was a commentator, and I forgot which one of the brothers was doing football commentators.
One of the Gumbel brothers. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and then they were laughing him out.
Kicking a field goal.
Oh, no. They were laughing one of them out because he was like, the field goal is good. No, it isn't.
And, it might have been his brother because I think he does more, like, play-by-play type
Yeah, when I think of him, I think of the fact that two brothers made it in the industry. Like, what's the odds of that?
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know,
you're good,
he has
good,
talent, I guess. So I give him that. Yeah, he definitely has talent, so I give him this just due. You know what I'm saying? He has talent. Next birthday I want to talk about is one.
The black Bob Costas. Or Bob Costas is the white Bryant Gumbel.
Yo. Next thing birthday I want to bring up is one. First off, this is his real name, by the way, for anybody listening. John Macbeth Paxson.
Yay!
Yes, they really named this young man Macbeth.
Well, awesome. Bay, about
John Macbeth Paxson, that's your man.
Yo, one thing, Jimmy, I mean, sorry about Magic, but he did go like 8 for 8. In the clinching game against Magic in the finals. Not that he was giving Magic work, but, I mean, he was just Jordan would drive, and he was hitting Paxson, and that was, like, Paxson's best game ever. And then in the third championship, he knocks down the three, obviously, after Jordan, Pippen, and Horace Grant get a rock up. And he's the current, you know, GM slash vice president for the Bulls. And, yo, apparently him and Vinny Del Negro almost got into a rumble or came to blows over some player management or mismanagement. So shout out to John Paxson.
Shout out to John Paxson. And the reason that he did that was because Mike was taking all the attention, leaving him wide open shots. Yo, my man, Hot Block Commander, B. Austin.
Yo.
Nick,
the
Gumbel
Brothers, they're happy, they're singing, they're colored. Never mind. John Paxson was a great shooter, you know, knockdown shooter. You know, where would he have been if Mike wasn't around? Who knows? Why Craig Hodges couldn't stay in the league, though?
Because he was the black John Paxson. That's my theme for the day.
Yo, hey, Dev, what's your opinion of one John Macbeth Paxson?
I don't have much from what the brothers already added. You know, he's not that exciting. He did knock down the Big J. That's all I got.
No doubt. I don't got nothing to say about him at all because he killed disrespecting my man Magic, so I'm going to leave it alone. next birthday I want to talk about is one Hersey R. Hawkins. And to you jabronis out there, it's not Hershey. It's Hersey. Hersey R. Hawkins Jr. turns 45. Austin, I'm going to start with you this time. Hersey Hawkins.
Yo, he was one of my all-time favorite Sixers, yo. He was a lot better than 13 points per game. That's all I got to say.
Yo, I'm going to tell you something about Hersey Hawkins, right? Like, I remember the draft that he came out. And I was like, yo, as a young boy, I'm like, yo, the Sixers should get Rex Chapman because he was like the dude in college. And I ain't never seen Hersey Hawkins' college team ever play.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, why ain't they going with Rex Chapman? Because he's making all the TV games. But Hersey ended up being a solid player, although, like, the one thing I do remember about him is his fear of Michael Jordan. I never forget the playoff game where Mike, like, just took the ball in his hands and rolled the ball. And Hersey fell back, like, seven steps. Mike didn't even move. He just rolled the ball in his hands. Hersey started falling. So that's what I think of when I think of Hersey. But, Dev, what you want to say about Hersey?
Yo, I mean, you kind of infringed on the territory I was going. I wasn't even going to mention Mike. I was just going to call him a coward. Hersey, you know, he was talented. His J was water, but he was a coward. He wasn't D'ing up on nobody. And I do remember another Michael Jordan highlight when he got the ball. Just like it was the same type of thing. He hadn't done anything yet, but I don't even think it's the same highlight. And Hersey started turning around and calling for Barkley, calling for help, like, bark. And they always show it in slow motion. He's like, bark.
He was so afraid of Mike because, you know, they used to get it in back then. They used to come on Channel 17 back then.
Uh-huh.
And they used to go at it.
Or Jimmy, or they came on Prism. Remember Prism?
Prism.
You had, like, HBO and Prism. You didn't have a whole cable system. You had HBO and Prism.
Word to Mark Zumoff. But, yo, he was so scared of Mike, it was ridiculous. Doc Bay, what you want to say?
Yo, Hersey Hawkins might have been, like, the most, the boringest, effective scorer in the NBA. Because at Bradley, he put up something like 2,500 points. And then in the league, you know, he had years where he averaged around 20 a game. But, like, never made any facial expressions. He just was, like, boring. But, I mean, he had a solid game. You know what I mean?
Yo, my question is this. Where is Bradley located?
I'm right here, y'all.
I'm right here.
It sounds like it's in Milwaukee or something.
Yeah, it just sounds like a school in Milwaukee.
Yo,
just
because
there,
of the Bradley Center. Yo, because you think
of
the Bradley
Center.
Oh, that's
why I said that. That probably is why I said that.
Yo.
What's wrong with that?
Last birthday I want to bring up is a friend of the War Room 1, Kevin Wayne Durant. He turns 23.
It's my birthday.
Kevin Durant.
Well, I mean, me and Dev had the opportunity to coach against him, and his team obliterated us. And he wasn't even the main guy we remembered. We remembered their point guard and some other dudes that went on to play like D1 and overseas because he was a sophomore then. And he just stayed outside and shot J's at like 6'7".
They went in though.
Yeah.
They went in.
They did go in, though. Yo, Dev, what you want to say about him?
Man, I'm just shocked at what he's become in such a short period of time in the league. I mean, don't get me wrong. When he's drafted, I'm I'm on the bandwagon. You got to take them one or two. Really, I said two because, you know, I was still like, you know, you got to go with the big man and dude is hurt all the time. But Kevin Durant, you know, people said he could do this and he can do that. But when he got drafted, he couldn't even bench, what was it, like 170?
185.
Yeah, he couldn't bench it like two or three times. And they said, you know, he wouldn't be this because he's frail. Yo, look what he's doing to the league right now. Like, I don't know how
strong
he does it, but he's nice.
In the words of my comrade, it's a joy and a pleasure to watch that young man play basketball.
Yes,
and I already know what Austin going to say. He's going to bring up baby Brian. So, Austin, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say what you want to say.
Hey, yo, first of all, let me say that the man is as humble as his haircut is weak. Yo, boy's like, yo.
He definitely needs a new barber.
He's a good dude. And you know, being as my quasi-home gym is Run and Shoot, a.k.a. Capital Sports Complex, shout out to y'all in District Heights, cut the check now.
Cut the check.
I've literally seen Michael Beasley mop the floor with Kev, and yet Kev is on the way to the Hall of Fame and Michael Beasley is on the way to Ricky Davis. I don't know what it is. He's definitely the best. He's the best small forward in the league.
Yo, what made? Yo, that's funny because that's.
Oh,
not
that, that's
be
your
the,
way. That now you send a subliminal shot. So instead of just
saying what you really want to say,
that's a great forecast, Brad Lee Anderson. That's no joke, man.
The funny thing is that won't be the only Ricky Davis mentioned on this show. Warning.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, speaking of which, yo, real quick before we move out of these birthdays, we all forgot that his senior year at Bradley, which is in Peoria, Illinois, Hersey Hawkins averaged 36.8 rebounds and four assists.
Who is the competition?
He was Bradley, they probably was playing against like Scott.
Furman and Moorhead. Lamar University, Furman University, and Bradley.
Yeah, see his name. He's playing against a bunch of dudes, like no other names. Bradley versus Thurman versus.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
Moorhead,
those
school in that
those are the birthdays for the week. And the birthdays, by the way, are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, which is 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Some of you young ladies need to go and get, you know, some new Beverly Johnson. Anyway, Dev, tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind.
All right, I will do that. And On the Grind is brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. Go to the website, check it out. Improve on what you're driving on because you're not going to get any women like that. So we're going to start with this first headline. Man, your man Delonte West is back in the news, and this time he applied for a job at a furniture store in the D.C. area, Regency Furniture, and Deadspin.com has a photocopy of his application. I don't know if this is the real deal or not, but I'm going to read y'all some of the stuff on his application. It said, how did you learn of this opening? Word of mouth. Are you able to work full-time? He checked, you know, for yes. It says, specify days and hours of part-time. Says any. Are you able to work weekends? Yes. Have you worked at Regency/Ashley Furniture Store before? No. This is when it gets crazy. If hired, on what date will you be available to start working? Says yesterday. It said, have you ever been convicted of a crime? He checked the yes box. If yes, please describe in full. One word. Misunderstanding. What's wrong with you, man?
Yo, my man is crazy.
Wait a minute. Hey, how is it a misunderstanding when you're on your Antonio Banderas riding on a motorcycle with a case full of guns? What's the misunderstanding about that?
He was taking him out of the house because his mom didn't want to have all the guns in the house. That's the story, man. Yo.
Or maybe Gloria didn't like all the firearms in their little shed that somebody built them in.
Hey, I wasn't going there, but you said it. But, you know, it is what it is. That's awesome, man, Delonte, man.
Hey, yo, before Austin goes, yo, Brad, real quick, because I know you've met him more than me, but, yo, the one time I met him and just seeing his demeanor and talking to him, like, me and him and talking to him, and seeing him being quiet on the court and then hearing all this stuff that he's into off the court, yo, I'm ridiculously surprised. Like, it's like two different people.
Those are the ones you worry about. He should be 302, just like we like to say up here. Like, I mean, those are the guys you worry about, not the ones that talk a lot, the ones that are quiet.
Yo, him and he and Flip are the only two players that I know that will bust your ass and give you 50 and just be emotionless about it. Like, if I give you, like, if I score 30 on you, yo, I'm talking to your mom, your children in the stands. Yo, dude doesn't say anything. Yo, he's like Silent Bob Strikes Back. And that's what's so crazy. Like, that's why Akil
got to strike back, though.
That's why Akil is saying this, because we played with him on multiple occasions, and dude is like, I can't even call it humble. He's like a mute. He don't speak.
All right, well,
he don't speak. So
misunderstood, man. You heard what the young man said. He's misunderstood.
Yeah, misunderstood.
Yeah, he misunderstood, got locked up on a misunderstanding. But let's move on. I know Kobe says that that Italy is, quote, very possible during the lockout. Now, he's gotten an offer from the team, was it Vitris Bologna, and they're willing to pay him $2.5 million to play in 10 games over a span of 40 days. Is this something y'all think Kobe is really interested in, and is it something y'all think he should really do? Good, Jim. You're a Laker fan, so your opinion counts.
I don't think he should do it because, I mean, the one thing about Kobe is he's been beat up over the last couple of years. I mean, bottom line.
Yeah.
So I think he should get as much rest as possible, you know, and he doesn't need the money, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know his financial situation, but
he doesn't need the money.
He's doing it for the money. So,
yeah.
No, I would just chill.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you're saying because over the last, like, 3.5 years with the long playoff runs and the Olympics and, just everything that he's done, he hasn't really gotten a chance to have an off season. And actually, his lockout could be a blessing in disguise for maybe prolonging his career a few more years. So I don't think he should do it myself. But, you know, to each his own, that's his business. Bam.
Yeah, I think he should rest, especially after all those surgeries. I know he went out to Germany to get some extra fluid shot in his knee from his and he took some blood out of one part of his body and then shot some fluid in his knee to help, like, the healing process. So Kobe should just chill because he hasn't had a rest with all the Olympics and, you know, all those other things. So,
you
know, the playoff
runs,
the finals. What?
You believe
the,
that? He went out to Germany to get some. No, he went out to Germany to get some extra Eagle Colorado without the whole American paparazzi band around. But also, what do you think about Kobe? Do you think he should do that?
No, because as the rest of y'all say, he needs the rest. But dude is a fierce competitor, and the opportunity to show that he is the son of Mike all over the world may be just too appealing to him. China's offering him $7 million. Italy's offering him this deal. I mean, he's getting offers crazy, and it's an opportunity to take his brand even further than it already is. So,
yeah.
I don't know. There's several different ways to look at it.
All right. Well, move on to the next thing. I know there's a new book, a new biography coming out about Walter Payton entitled Sweetness, and the book is by Jeff Perlman. And it's actually some interesting tidbits have come out because it's not, you know, he interviewed over 676 people to write this book. So he's going to write it the way it is. And there's a few things in there that, you know, people, fans of Sweetness might not like. And it's because it's going to describe him as, like, suicidal. He abused pain medication. And he was dealing, like, with a crumbling family situation due to his infidelities. Like, one excerpt in the book talks about how during one like, Hall of Fame weekend, not when he was getting in, of course, because he wasn't even alive, but there was one Hall of Fame weekend, he was juggling his wife and his girlfriend being there at the same time. And then they said, like, he used to have, like, all of these prescriptions. He used to fill a bunch of prescriptions at a bunch of different drugstores for painkillers at the same time. And then one time the police actually had to come by his house and check on that because they got the reports from the drugstore. So There's going to be a light shown on Sweetness that a lot of people, especially Chicagoans, might not like. What do y'all think?
Yeah.
Tell the truth. Shame on
you. You know, sort of like I said on Facebook today, if I was a grown man and my nickname was Sweetness and everybody walking around calling me that, I might be a little suicidal too. How are you going to be a grown man and let people call you Sweetness? No disrespect. I don't want to disrespect the dead because Walter Payton, in my opinion, is a top three running back of all time. I just don't know about the whole Sweetness moniker, but, you know, that's my
opinion. I think one of the objectives of our show, I mean, and maybe I'm just tossing this out there, is to help people learn what objectivity is and be able to separate their heroes and what they do on the field, court, or wherever they do their thing at, and what they do in real life. I mean, he's just a human being. Because he was the third or second or fourth greatest running back of all time doesn't mean the bull wasn't suicidal, didn't cheat,
right,
and all that. So I'm anxious.
Well, Bayon, you got something real quick before we pass this Rizzy?
That's kind of sad. They say that, in due time, the truth does come out about certain things, and, you know, it's the life of an athlete with money, and you see women, and if you don't have certain boundaries around you, you know, you're going to partake and taste in the fruits that are out there, and, you know, your kids are going to pop out, you know what I mean? So,
cool.
Kind of is.
All right, well, I love the way you put that. Basically, you're saying that you hope a kill smoke doesn't come out until you're going.
Exactly.
All right, well, look, y'all, since just a little programming note for the last thing, since there's no baseball tonight because, you know, two of the teams choked, 10 o'clock on NFL Network, they're doing a special called Football Life, and this one is surrounding Reggie White and Jerome Brown, you know, formerly that vaunted early 90s Eagle defense. That's tonight at 10 o'clock again on NFL Network. We usually don't, you know, plug professional networks and shows like that. But this one
got
near and dear to some of us because it's about Reggie White and Jerome Brown. So we'll call them later and try to get them to cut that check. But that's
bring
what
it home for Jerome.
While y'all were on the ground.
Yes, sir. It's time to pass the rock, and I shall not explain it because if you don't know, that means you haven't been listening, and you need to listen. So with that being said, I'm going to inbound the rock to my man, Devin McMillan.
Tell him why you mad, sir. Tell him why you mad, sir.
All right, I'll take that inbound pass real quick. All right, everybody, this is Devin, if you didn't know by the voice or by Jimmy saying I'm passing the rock to Devin McMillan. Last week on the show, my brothers and I got into a temperate discussion about a term I used to describe what I thought of Floyd Money Mayweather's two-piece destruction of vicious Victor Ortiz. That term was Bush League. Now, Bush League is a term used in sports circles started in baseball to kind of symbolize an action being, quote-unquote, minor league, unprofessional, sneaky, an easy way out, etc. However, everything entailed in Bush Leaguery falls within the rules of its particular sport, so when going the route of the bush, it is basically to each his own. I've probably taken the Bush League route several times in my past, mainly at work, but we're going to keep that between you and I. I'm going to give you a quick list of some of the more memorable Bush League moments that I can recall. Let's keep it recent. Last night, Jose Reyes of the Mets bunted to get on base in his first at-bat and then asked out of the game so he wouldn't have to hit again and preserve his hold on the season's batting crown. It was perfectly legal. He won the batting crown, but that was a little Bush League. Ricky Davis throwing a basketball off his own backboard to give himself the rebound that earned him his first ever NBA triple-double was Bush League. Brett Favre taking a dive to get his buddy Michael Strahan the single-season sack record was Bush League. The $1 bid on contestant's row on The Price is Right is Bush League. Bidding $1 more than you on contestants' row on The Price is Right is even more Bush League than the straight-up $1 bid. Millennium Records trying to pass Ren and 10 off to us as real hip-hop was Bush League. And the most egregious display of Bush Leaguery ever is the smoke and mirror job committed by Andy Reid in making you all believe that Donovan McNabb was an elite quarterback. NFL rules say nothing about hypnotism, therefore it's legal, but extremely frowned upon. Y'all know there had to be at least one Donovan dig on every episode, so suck it up and don't start crying about it. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
Yo, and there, my lemmings and lemmingettes, you have Bush League. Now you know what it means. And if you don't know, now you know. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, the greater of the two Mannings, these three players have something in common with Donovan McNabb. They're all in their 30s. In fact, they're all above 33. They're all in the prime of their career. And yes, we know Peyton's on IR or probably will be on IR and injured, but let's face it, until the fat lady actually sings, he's still arguably the best quarterback in the league or second or whatever. These guys are in their primes at 34 and 35. They've taken some hits. They're in the NFL, folks. But they're still playing at a high level, at a $100 million man type level, at $10 million a season type level. Yo, what is up with your man? And I say that to all Donovan fans, all black protectionists. You can't call it age. He ain't old. As my co-host said, he hypnotized y'all. Yo, with that, I'm passing the rock.
Seth Bush.
I got it. Yo, yeah, that's interesting about McNabb. Like, he's on pace for, like, 1,900 yards by playing every snap and starting every game. And shout-out to Ren and Ten. That girl is mine. You know, that's mine. Yeah. All right. Now, yo, Ren, what up, Ten? good evening, War Room World. I just have some bullet points that I'd like to share with the War Room Galaxy tonight. First of all, the Atlanta Braves blow a several-game lead head in the month of September, heading into a playoff run, and it was an epic collapse, as we all know, and the Cardinals took that spot. And on a side note, shout-out to the Phillies for not letting up on that game going into 13 innings. They could have packed it in like the Yankees and said, well, you know what, we're not going to have our best out here. But shout out to the Phillies for playing that game to the end, getting themselves ready for the playoffs, beating the Braves. And also shout out to the Red Sox, who blew the biggest lead in AL history after having a 9-game lead heading into the month of September. They lost their spot to the Rays, unfortunately. Shout out to the Yankees because they lost after being up 7 runs in the 8th inning for the first time since 1953. Another shout out goes to the Red Sox, who lose a game for the first time this year after being up in the 9th inning, and they were 56-0 up until this point. And in college football news, shout out to the Texas Longhorn safety, Nolan Brewster, who had to quit football due to too many concussions, and he played safety. And, you know, Dave Dorsett committed suicide, played safety. Andre Waters played safety, suicide, and this guy, you know, probably the dad, they probably say, look, homie, you might need to chill. And shout-out to Derek Fisher for telling the NBA players that they need to be willing to risk the season for the future of a better deal. So with that, I will fake a behind-the-back pass from right to left, and then I will throw James Williams an underhand scoop pass on the baseline.
Yes, sir. I got it, good brother. I'm laughing at all your shout-outs. Shout-out to everybody. Kill just shout it out. Yo, what's good, Wolverine family? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint. And I got a few words for all the sissy soft suckers who have been talking pork chop greasy about Mike Vick all week. Listen, Mike Vick complained about all the late hits he took this past weekend, and people started to disrespect Vick as if he has no right to complain. Listening to all the Charlies on sports radio and all the people on the internet saying he has no right to complain because he killed dogs. You know what? That made me want to take drugs prescribed by Conrad Murray. As a dog lover, the man who was on the quest for international greatness and worldwide domination, I was appalled when I heard about the crimes that Mike Vick committed. At the same time, I understand that he served his time and has paid his debt to society. I do not believe that our criminal justice system is perfect by any means, but it's the system that we have. I can't believe that people actually believe that he should remain quiet because he was given a second chance. Let me ask you a question. Is remaining quiet part of his probation? I mean, you can call him a punk for whining or disagree with whether or not the hits were legal. I mean, that's questionable. But to say he should be quiet because he was given a second chance is asinine. The people that make these kind of statements are the same people that raise unstable kids who are future unsubs. These men should be stabbed in the esophagus with a rusty switchblade. And the women who make these statements, they should be downright punched in their fallopian tube with brass knuckles. Now listen, I know that's kind of harsh, but so what? These people have significantly impaired cognitive functioning and deficits in two or more adaptive behaviors. So the bottom line is, this is the only way to talk to them. So all you people talking about Mike Vick shouldn't be able to express how he feels because he killed dogs. Do me a favor. Go kill yourself. And with that, I'm done, and I dunked the rock, but before doing so, I got to let everybody know I'm nice.
And the crowd goes wild. All right, let me tell y'all how to get in touch with us real quick. Boy, Jimmy is crazy. All right, check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter right from the homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, and inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. Do not miss the boat. If you'd like to send an email to one of us personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. While you're still on the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy cool War Room Sports merchandise and click the blog tab to read the greatest blog in the history of sports, All's Fair in Sports and War. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at WarRoomSportsTV.com for access to all of our media content, one place, anywhere, anytime. Download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. You can join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. While you're at it, follow us to make The War Room your favorite Blog Talk Radio show and get updates and reminders about the show. Subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show anytime on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show because people will be tripping in there. So to call in and speak with us, you can dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening to the show from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. And who knows, if you're patient enough, we might just get to you. You can get on the radio and talk your shiz. All right, what's going on in the chat room?
The Broad Street Line said the dollar bid is smart because you play to win the game.
Yo, smart. See, I tried to do the whole PTR so people can understand the position. Smart, legal, yes. Bush League, yes.
So I guess what you're saying is Bush League can also be smart.
Yeah, but a lot of times Bush League gotta get smart. Like, who would
Let me ask you a question.
Who would think, like, I mean, besides of Ricky Davis, who would think to throw the ball on the backboard? I can get me a rebound right now. It's smart.
Let me ask you a question. With that being said, how do you feel about Jose Reyes? Look at my transition. Look how you feel about that, considering that smart.
Booyah.
Yeah,
let's go on into that. It's one of the things, like, it wasn't anything that made me mad because I really don't care about it that much. But, you know, I mentioned it in the little thing. I think it was a little Bush League because he had this plan from the door. He told his manager, like, yo, if I get a hit, you know, I want you to take me out immediately. Now, the only thing about his whole situation is, you know, he's a free agent to be, and he might not be back with the Mets. So the last memory that Mets fans have of this dude is bunting and then immediately being pinch run for, and, you know, See, now the brochure about Reyes is fugazi. What's the difference between what he did
but it's also
and the
smart,
dollar
though.
Bid on The Price is Right?
Yo, there's a contrast. The antithesis to what Jose Reyes did was, you know, they talked about how Ted Williams on the last day, he did all his bats, and he went 6 for 8 and wound up batting 406 because 400 was at stake, and he kind of approached it. So that was the complete opposite. And it's, I mean, I think about neither one here nor there, but, you know, it's just two ways to look at it.
Yeah. Actually, our homie who's on our show at least once a month, Rob Parker, he weighed in on it. He wrote a whole article about it, but I'm going to just take one quote from it. He said, by taking himself out the game, Mets shortstop Jose Reyes cheated teammates and fans and proved once again that he's no Derek Jeter. So that was Rob's thought on it. So I'm pretty sure he didn't
Derek Jeter was accused of Bush leaguery as well, though. And even beyond that,
I got something, y'all.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, man.
I got something that my last game of my senior year, you know how we had all those shooters, Deb, that got recruited to come in, all those cats that, you know, could shoot.
Yeah.
All season, I was leading the team in three-point percentage and, you know, making like one a game. So during the last season, the last game, I was shooting 39.6% to lead the team, right? So I'm like, yeah. So this is my last game. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just go out shooting. So in that last game, I went 0-for-4, and I wound up losing my, you know. So now I can't say I shot 40% my senior year in college. You know what I mean?
Right. See, you're a soldier though. You could have been like, I'm not gonna shoot just because you know we're gonna round this up. We're gonna call it 40, and I'm gonna lead the team.
I think
that would have been Bush League because they probably would have needed you to shoot those buckets, but you didn't want to shoot because you're looking out for yourself.
It's like this. What do y'all think about like Dwayne in our chat room brought up David Robinson going bananas to try to win the scoring title on his team, letting him shoot every shot that game.
I agree. That's leaguery. That's our new term, leaguery.
Yeah.
That's leaguery.
Yeah, that's our new. See, that's leaguery.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dwayne too, because that was leaguery. I remember
David,
that was leaguery.
David Robinson was soft and I killed Bayon, rumbled the whole football team. So there is difference. Like, they're in different categories.
Hey,
Smokes, man.
To finish off Jimmy's wonderful segue into Reyes, and just tell you, he did, like I said, he did end up winning the hitting crown because his closest competitor, Ryan Braun of the Brewers, went 0-for-4 to finish at, 332, 5 points behind Reyes. And Milwaukee been clinched. And, you know, Braun went out there and played a meaningless game and did what he had to do because he wasn't worried about that leaguery. But I don't know. He is a free agent, though, so just having that title, hits crown, on your resume might help him in the free agent market.
Get
not
some
that
money.
Jose Reyes needs
winning
help in the free agent market, but that sure looks good on your resume, so he got it.
You ain't never lied.
Yo, I'm reminded of a line. I'm reminded of a line from the movie 300. Yo, a coward dies 1,000 deaths, so he lives forever. But a hero only dies once gloriously. I don't know what that has to do with leaguery, but it sounded hot.
I shouldn't try to put it together. Like, what is he talking about, yo?
I've heard you use that quite a few times on the show, but you were talking about something else. But
yo, what is he talking about?
Yeah, that's good.
Can y'all remember, because they say it's happened plenty of times before, can y'all ever remember a manager getting traded? Because Ozzie Guillen got traded this week. Now, the report came out, and that's how they were reporting it at first. You know, they kind of backed down off the whole trade talk, but in essence, he really is getting traded because what happened was he went into, you know, the office trying to see what's up with renegotiating his contract or whatever. They didn't come to an agreement, so you know, they gave him, you know, permission to walk. So when he decided to sign with the Florida Marlins, the White Sox, you know, felt that they needed compensation for that. So the White Sox are sending two minor leaguers to the Marlins for a manager. I mean, I'm sorry, the Marlins are sending two minor leaguers to the White Sox for their manager.
Yo, did Ozzie talk his way out of town?
That's
Yo,
a good
word
question.
To Ozzie Guillen.
That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, he's he won. He got them to a World Series and won it in 2005. You know, from then on, he's been a good manager. But you know, he says what he wants, and I don't know if you know how much of more of that they can take. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Hey, PJ, I know you there, PJ. What's popping? What you feel about your man, Ozzie Guillen?
I was just about to answer Brad's question and say that I think Ozzie cursed his way out of town. He only speaks about four English words, and everything else is first. I can never understand him except for the expletive.
He only
speaks
three English words that aren't curses.
He do. Everything else is a curse, man. I'm telling you. Listen to his sayings of his. It's three curse words, one consonant, half a vowel, and Spanish stuff.
Hey, but fellas,
set his prepositional phrases up.
This whole move, though, it might be a little entertaining for us because, you know, the five of us, even though we're all from Philadelphia, the only thing we have in common as sports fans are the Phillies and the Flyers that all five of us have in common. So he's coming to the NL East, so we're going to see a whole lot more.
Yo!
It's about to get crazy.
Where is the Ozzie Guillen, yo?
Yo,
but you know what, to answer your question, in baseball, I've seen a lot of these trades happen over the years. I mean, I remember as a kid, one guy got traded for, like, bats and balls and, like, you know, and cash.
Literally.
I'm not even being funny. I mean, this has happened in baseball. I mean, they literally take that contract to heart. Like, yo, we got you on the contract. You're a piece of property. Like,
back in the 60s and the mid-70s, somebody got traded for $100,000, so basically they put his butt on the auction block and said, give us $100,000 and have him.
More or less.
All right, so, yeah, that's Ozzie being traded.
One more thing about Ozzie. He was saying, you know, he said there was an issue, so he was like, hey, you know, Ozzie Guillen? No, you want yes? No, I don't want yes, you know, because I'm going to bring the ball, you know, I'm about to get it. You know, I want money. You know, I don't eat ball. So, yeah. That's what he said.
Yo, I have no clue what you just said. But,
neither does, yo, you know, I have no clue when I'm talking
to
Hey, let's talk about this NBA lockout for a few minutes, because they're actually at the point now, like, you know, if we don't get anything, if there's a deal just not even in sight by Monday, we're going to start canceling games. Because, you know, they've already, on Friday, they postponed training camps indefinitely and canceled 43 preseason games through October 9th to the 15th. Like I said, now they're talking that there's not even a deal in sight Monday. They're going to start canceling games. So Derek Fisher, who's the president of the Players Association, sent a letter out to all the players saying we can't sell ourselves short for instant gratification. He also called out the agents because, remember when we talked about, we reported that time that they were talking about dissolving the union, like the NFL, to get some leverage?
Yeah.
Well, the heads of the Players Association aren't really for that, and it was agents trying to push that to their players. So he called out the agents who were trying to get their players to dissolve the union, saying, you know, we got to be patient and we got to stay unified. But last thing, you know, I'll let y'all go ahead.
I got a serious question, and I know that y'all are not going to take it seriously, but shouldn't you have a certain quality to your game in order to be the player, like the player's president? Derek Fisher's not good enough for me to listen to.
At the same time, Austin, he's the kind of player that would take that serious. Exactly. He won't take
that serious. How much interest does Derek Fisher have? Yo, he can't possibly play more than another 82 games. Like,
listen to what I'm saying, though. Brown's going to show for all these meetings? They said that some of the big-name players don't even show up for meetings or do anything anyway.
Need to go from one extreme to the other. There's a huge difference between Derek Fisher and baby Brown. You can get somebody of more quality than
you know what, though? You know what it is? Because, first of all, you got to be some sort of intelligent. You know, I'm going to give Fisher that. He's an intelligent cat. He seems to be. You got to get somebody who's, of course, a veteran deep into his career, and you also got to get somebody that players respect. Now, I'm with you, like, on the level of game. Like, I don't know how Fisher earned the type of respect that he has earned in the league, but he does get it enough to be the the president. Like the most famous one, or the you know, the biggest superstar that I can remember was probably like Patrick Ewing, wasn't he the?
Yeah, Patrick Ewing.
And I think Pat was, and I know he can't really speak English. I can respect him coming from Pat. I can respect.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm not showing up.
He's soft, dude.
Michael Curry was too, for a minute. I can respect Mike Curry. What about Bruce?
Yeah,
Bruce
I'm
going
to
have
the same thing. If Fisher
is a noodle.
Right. If Fisher, went, like Curry went into coaching, if Fisher retired and wanted to go into coaching, I don't think he'd have any problem getting a job like as an assistant like right away when he retires. So, I mean, those
when
are the
type of players. When you get your ass bust that much, you got to understand the game.
Well, that's where I'm trying to tell you, you're making the point. That's why he's in the position that he's in. And, you know, I don't know. And maybe they need somebody in office that respects everybody else. And if everybody busts your ass every night, then, you know, he respects what the players are trying to say. I don't know, man. I'm just throwing out theories. But
and I also don't think that Fisher's as bad as you're making him out to be. You're talking about him like he's as bad as Kevin Holland.
You're biased. Everyone listening
now,
he's a Lakers fan.
If Kevin Ollie was the president, that'd be crazy.
But what I'm saying is Fisher's not on the level of a Kevin Ollie.
No,
Fisher is well respected because he's made plays when it's counted, and he's a veteran, and he's well spoken.
We're not on the level of Kevin Ollie.
He was a part of the five rings that he got. I would venture to say he was a bigger part of the five rings than Robert Horry was. And most of it.
I knew that was coming.
No, seriously. I was being honest, though. I ain't even trying to come at Ori, but I would say Fisher was a bigger part of, especially the Lakers joint.
Man, ever since Fisher hit that shot against the Spurs, man, I got his back, man. Shout out to Derek Fisher.
He did save y'all. Like,
I don't care what else he do for the rest of his life. He made that shot against the Spurs, so shout out to him.
I see that.
Well, one more point about this. Let me get your opinion on this, because the reason Fisher is preaching unity and patience is because he knows that the owners are divided on a couple of issues themselves. So he's like, you know.
Yeah, he's trying to play
the
divide.
First of all, owners
conquer.
Are divided on the hard cap. Like, he feels that there are certain owners out there who are not willing to miss games or miss a season over a hard cap. And he also thinks, well, knows, because we know, because Mike Jordan said something about it in Australia last week or a few months ago. He knows that they're divided on the revenue sharing. So he's like, if we just be patient, you know, we can get a good deal because they don't agree on everything themselves. So y'all agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the art of war.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
That's the art of war.
Owners are beefing. The players are going to be beefing soon. So it's like, you know,
yeah.
It's going to be a hot mess. But at the same time, yeah. You're right, because there's certain teams that are profitable that don't care about the teams Frank about it, they don't care about the teams that don't make money.
Yeah.
I think
like what Jimmy's saying is exactly right. It's like the haves and the have-nots on both sides, because you got the haves and have-nots as owners. I mean, you think that sounds crazy for a franchise owner to be a have-not, but in comparison to, like, the Lakers, that's why Michael Jordan out there complaining. He don't get the kind of money they get, but the Lakers don't really care that he's not getting the kind of money they get. Then you got players who aren't making as much as the top-tier players, and they're going to want to cave and either dissolve the union or just cave in and play ball. And I don't know. This one, like y'all said a long time ago, this one is going to be more difficult because you don't have the same kind of unity that you had in the NFL joint. What'd you say, Bay?
Yeah, I was going to say with the union dissolving, what people don't realize is that they lose all benefits and, different packages and everything that now they got to pay extra cash for the cash that they're not even getting anyway. So
Peyton Manning had to fix his own neck, and that's why it's still messed up now.
Speaking of Peyton Manning, I was thinking about this. Peyton Manning is the biggest, like, yo, he robbed the Colts. How do you sign a $100 million contract, first off, without getting a physical? I don't know how they pulled that off. Then second of all, then go get neck surgery after signing the dotted line. Like, yo, I'm about to get neck surgery now. Thanks for the dough. He robbed
it. Listen, man.
So far, Chris Johnson robbed the Titans more than Peyton robbed them.
Yeah, he's playing, and
he still ain't doing nothing.
As long as McNabb exists, don't be pointing at Peyton, man. I'm talking about robbery.
McNabb, Chris Johnson, and Joe Johnson. It's two Johnsons ahead of Peyton.
Now, I
don't
Chris
know about that, though. He took 100 M's, yo. He did white collar crime, man. You got, yo, get the feds on Peyton Manning, yo. How do you get a $100 million contract and tell them, yo, I'm not taking it physical, yo?
All right.
No,
yo, he's like, Peyton, like, I ain't paying the fines.
A part of that is what he's already done, and a part of that is what they're hoping he can do at least when he comes back. I'm not saying he will be able to return to form, but I can see that. What has some of these folks to be
doing?
Austin, I'd be a hypocrite to fully agree with that.
What's the point?
I'd be
a hypocrite to fully agree with that point you made, though, because I've argued against other dudes getting people like Chris Johnson. I've argued against the kind of money they were asking for because I don't think you should be paying a dude, especially in a game like football, for what he's already done. I mean,
if you think he
can still do it at that level,
I just feel like there are always exceptions to certain rules, and just what dude means to that game. First of all, the Colts ownership, the Colts management are fools. Why would you ever build a team the way they built it? I mean, they literally built it around one dude.
I'm about to say something to piss you off. When it's all said and done, Eli gonna be better than Peyton.
I
was thinking about it. Eli gets no respect.
Come on, man.
I mean, they got the same amount of jewelry. Eli got a lot more years left. If Eli won a couple more rings, what you gonna say?
Him getting rings doesn't make him better.
The only part of that I agree with is that Eli don't get the kind of respect that I think.
No,
he
definitely, but that's not the point.
I actually think that Peyton's legend is going to grow even more while he's not playing. So even if he can't ever suit up again and they keep playing the way they're playing, I think his legend might grow a little more.
Yo, how does a team go from what they were to what they are now just based on one player? You can't even argue against that, dude. Like, anything you say to that is ludicrous. He affected a whole division because those four teams, the three other teams in that division, all built around him.
Hey, Austin said anything you say to that. He ain't even giving you a chance to.
Anybody
say to that.
Listen, Jimmy, not one team, not two teams, but three other teams are built around this dude.
At the end of the day, if you really want to get into it and break it down, before Peyton won that bowl, he was a choke artist in college.
Listen,
in high school,
dog. No matter what you say, dog. The proof is in the pudding, man. Come on, dog. You didn't know who Pierre Garçon was running from the earthquake. Come on, man. Get out of here.
He's had more weapons than Tom Brady.
See, but that now you sound a little bit like a Stanley because you would know that looking at wide receivers and running back, don't even count that with Tom. Look at his line. If his line protects him, he's a great enough player to make those receivers
look great.
Tom Brady, and we've seen what happens when Tom exits, stays left, and that's no knock to Tom. But more credit to Belichick and that organization. When Tom exits, stays left, they go 11-5. When Peyton exits, stays left, they lead the league.
Matt Castle's a starter in this league.
Rex Grossman is a starter in the league. What's your point?
My point is Castle is competent. That's my point. And my point is
Jimmy,
Tom Brady also didn't have two first round two.
I think Castle's a starter in this league because of what happened in New England. Plus,
you
remember,
can make that
New England assistant coaches went to Kansas City and took dude with them. So I don't really know if he would have got that.
I mean, you can make the argument that he's part of the system, but you can also make the argument that Peyton is part of the system that he plays in.
Because that system just ain't looking that good right now. It don't seem like the backup quarterback can even run that system.
Yo, it's not like they replaced him and put in like even a competent. They didn't put in anybody competent at all. But at the same time,
this you and Austin joined, but think about it. Their backup before Carey came was Curtis Painter. Think about it. Before Matt Castle got in. dude hadn't started since high school. So we would when he first got in, we looked at him like, yo, who the hell is this dude? He ain't competent, and then, you know, he did what he had to do. Good system.
And
but
then,
no,
and
hey,
then
yo, we
like,
gonna,
good
get,
system.
Yeah, we're going to get right back
into
football.
Also, he produced after that. We can
we're
going to
get right
that,
back into
one,
football.
That one last
oh, go ahead,
point.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Peyton Manning has never had a first-round running back like your man. I mean, Tom Brady has never had a first-round running back or two first-round top 10 receivers in the draft.
No, you're right. I agree with that. He never had that. But what Brad said, I agree with also. His line is crazy.
But let me ask
man.
You another question.
I see that dude hop around back there for like 9 seconds sometimes.
Any NFL quarterback that you give more than 3 seconds, it doesn't matter
who
they have a receiver.
I'll just get into a Peyton versus Brady anyway.
I don't know, but my point is this, though.
Jimmy wanted to take a shot.
Before Peyton won the bowl, would you have considered him a choke artist?
No.
You asking the wrong person.
No.
You should be the one arguing against people saying that.
Okay.
Not at all.
There was a whole lot of
let
other
me,
parts
let me ask
of
the
that
people
team
in the chat
that let them down. Oh, I'm pretty sure you're going to get a yes from a lot of people.
And that's what I'm looking for.
These are probably
for.
The people that I was arguing with. But
yeah, but you're looking for that, Jimmy. You're looking for that without giving it context. You're still not talking about the circumstances that surrounded that. Lawyer Malloy jumping on to have Marvin Harrison's body and attaching himself and humping him isn't, you know what I'm saying? We got to give that. We got to throw that out.
Austin,
you got to pull out the fact that they pulled a rule.
I watched him at every level lose until they won that championship because of your man Rex Grossman. But anyway, let's move on.
Are you saying Peyton? Are you saying Peyton's a bum? Is Peyton not good?
No, he's not a bum. And you said any quarterback with more than 3 seconds. You said any quarterback with more than 3 seconds. And the periphery line wants to know if you get down to more than 3 seconds, what will happen?
A bounce pass.
There you go. Skip passes. Yeah. Hey, but look. So we're going right back into football. I just wanted to ask y'all one more thing, yo. This was a rumor. I'm not sure if it's true. Remember last week we talked about the celebrity game that was going on in Philly? Not celebrity, but, you know, the NBA ballers doing what they do in the offseason this year, having a game at the Palestra. And we were all hyped because there was a chance that Allen Iverson might play. Now, this is a rumor that we heard. We hear that Allen Iverson didn't play because a lot of the cats on the Philly team got together and decided that they didn't want dude on the team. One, do y'all believe that? And two, like, yo, AI still can't get a run? Somebody take that. PJ,
yeah.
What you think of that, man?
I
don't believe that. I can't believe that. A lot of them dudes, like, one thing about AI, no matter what people say about him, he got a lot of respect from other players. Like, he almost, it's almost kind of like the Vic factor where the dude was jawboning, Tashara Choice was jawboning at the end of the game last year. Like, people look at AI is iconic to them. So I can't imagine. I mean, maybe some of the egos got in the way, if that is true, but I can't imagine that. I hope that's a rumor, because AI used to get a lot of respect throughout the league.
AI had Carmelo Anthony running around Baltimore like he was his little corner boy. Like, yo, Melo, yo.
He had Larry Hughes. He had Larry Hughes doing that. And Larry Hughes ain't know what he was doing.
Understand, these cats are millionaires, and AI would be like, yo, just go to the store and get a Dutch for me, yo.
yo. Larry Hughes walking back and forth to St. Louis.
For
him.
and Mello would be like, yo, guys, yo, I'm going to the store for AI. Like he wasn't in the league.
He had to go Buford like that. He had all the Sixers like that back then.
Tim Thomas.
Yep.
I'm with PJ on this one,
man.
I think that's a rumor. I think that's just, I mean, you know, I hate to get into the whole hating thing, but I think that's kind of like AI haters trying to make something out of nothing. Because there's no way that they wouldn't have happily opened their arms and invited him to play in that game. I don't see it.
Players used
because,
to open
because of the names that they had on the Philly team, I would be like, yo, you got a lot of gall. come on, Hakeem.
Like, I made you.
And, yeah, like,
exactly.
Come on,
like, y'all here because of me. Like, come on, man.
He probably want to deal with Crew Thick. So he's like, little
bitch, I want him, bro. We want bad news up in the house.
Yo, speaking of that, why was the Philly team so weak?
don't know, because the you know, the cat, because cats like Kobe and Sheet and all them don't care about what's going on right now.
Yo, is Flip playing in that game? Is Flip playing?
No, nah, nobody knows where Flip is.
What about
is
Jameer?
Right now. Jameer, no, he ain't play either.
I don't know.
The most, yo,
I gotta get the
person with the biggest. The person with the biggest name was Kyle Lowry.
If anybody in the chat room, Facebook or Twitter knows the roster of the Philly team that played this past weekend, throw it on our Facebook page or something, or in the chat.
Even the young boy Tariq Evans was like, "No, I'm cool."
Oh, I thought he was on the roster.
We talking about practice, not a game, not a game.
Yeah, I didn't
wanna practice. Talking about.
We tried to have a practice. Maybe that was it. All right, so let's get back into what we were talking about before. Or at least get back into some football.
This is what I do.
Jimmy. Speaking of that,
yo,
Jimmy, talk about that ex-Colt.
Yeah, let's talk about another one of the former Pro Bowlers that played with Peyton Manning, and you know, with all the Pro Bowlers he played with. That's Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders is again out for the season. My question to you,
yo,
gentlemen, and those listening, and those
not see what happens when them Pro Bowlers. See what happens when them Pro Bowlers leave the Colts. No longer Pro Bowlers.
Should he just retire?
Who, Bob? Yo, Bob Sanders. Again, seriously, dude. I really do think it's time for him to just hang it up. But, you know, as somebody alluded to earlier on our Facebook page, if owner's going to keep being stupid enough to pay the dude, then, you know, why retire? Just get your two games a year in and
exactly. Yeah. I mean, you learn from the best. I mean, you know, your man got neck surgery. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bob Sanders, at one point, he was dominating the league in the safety position so much, they started making references to him like they do with Chuck Norris. I didn't know, like, Chuck Norris can beat Godzilla. Chuck Norris can, you know. Man,
hey,
I remember that.
I saw Austin make a comment that there was one point where he was like a notch below Troy and Ed. I was thinking about that. Are you sure he might have been on the three-headed monster, you know, the three-headed, what do you call it, the Mount Rushmore of safeties in the NFL, because four if you count Brian Dawkins, but remember, he won a Defensive Player of the Year, so that puts you in elite company.
Yeah.
Real quick, guys, I have the whole list right here. Shout out to the Board Street Nine of Team Philly. I'm going to read it to you. It's Kyle Lowry.
Doesn't matter.
Tariq Evans. Hakeem Warwick.
Inconsequential.
Lou Williams. No. Jason Thompson.
Who?
Mark Tinsdale. Aaron Owens.
Who cares?
Marty Collins. John Salmon. What? Wayne Ellington.
Who?
And Flip Murray.
All right. So, Broad Street Line.
They got
Broad Street
on the
Line. It's safe to say we lost, right? It's safe to say we lost.
Yo, unless they was playing Masterman's basketball team, they had to have lost.
No, they won.
We won. Oh, here's the
box
score right here. Yo, how do we win that?
Yo, because Flip be cracked.
Yo, they
Flip,
play Chris
yo, when
Paul,
you put the Giants in front of Flip, Flip get the David on.
They play Gamp.
First
yo,
of all, we had way
yo,
Luke, more
Luke,
players.
Yo, Luke Williams and Kyle Lowry killed them.
Yeah.
Mm.
Kyle Lowry
well,
had
you know Luke can get it off if he has to. Pause.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry is putting
got
in work.
Kyle
Lowry
has 34.
Damn.
Well, you mean to tell me that LeBron – never mind, man.
Hey, but Jimmy, look at the box score, though. Look at the box score. They only had, like, seven cats on the other team, so they really were disrespecting us. Oh, yo,
yo.
Go in there with, like, five dudes and beat them.
Yo, LeBron had 43 and 23.
Damn. Damn. Wilt numbers.
Yo.
All right,
good
looking
out.
I'm in the fourth quarter. In the last 5 minutes.
Probably like
all right,
one
we're
going to
leave that alone. We're going to leave that alone.
Yeah.
But anyway, y'all think Bob Sanders should just like leave it alone or just keep getting paid as much as he can?
I think he should, but if they're going to keep giving him checks, I can't tell that man to stop because I'd keep going checks.
Bob Sanders is going to be quadriplegic by the time he's like 39. His interior, his bone matter must be made up of pudding or something because
I know
so much. Straight up, man.
There was
no,
a time doing
that. It's his future health. If he honestly, if he is really going through, his body's breaking down like this. I'm just concerned about. Now I don't know him, so I'm not truly concerned. But I mean, from as a fan, I mean, I want to just keep it in perspective. No, no, but I'm just saying, as a fan and a concerned human, I'm just thinking like, how is he gonna? No, seriously. You know how Dion ride around on the Segway and all that. I wonder what Bob Sanders gonna have to do, man. His body is like.
BJ, you're right.
You know
because his body's like that, and Bo only played like 40 games in his career.
No,
football is violent, yo. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, I mean,
and he's
a violent
Bills,
player.
The Bills actually came back and beat the Patriots. I mean, this is a game I want to get you guys' opinion on. Brady, you know, the legend Tom Brady, who has above 500 playoff winning percentage, unlike some quarterbacks, he threw four interceptions this game. And the Bills won 34-31. Did you guys see this? Because the Bills came back from 21 down. What are your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills?
PJ can tell you what happened.
I would say,
PJ,
man,
Abbott.
This game put them in a position where they now have confidence, and that you can never doubt what effect confidence has on a team. So I think that it's definitely, in the grand scheme of things, going to help them eke out another 2 to 3 wins this season, because now they can always point to the fact. I am joking, man. They can always point to the fact that
we put up in total. You mean in total?
No, not
like,
total. I'm saying if they were going to win
two more wins in that fashion.
If they were going to win six, because they beat the Patriots, their confidence may get them to 9. Or if they were going to win 7. So I think that it's a big win for them. But on the other side, I don't think it's as big a loss for the Patriots as people are making it out to be. I mean, the last time they lost this big, they only lost twice that whole season. And the other thing is, remember, they did put up 21 on them in the first half. So the machine is still clicking. And dude threw 4 touchdowns, and 2 of those picks were glances off somebody else's hand, so they weren't really his fault. So I don't think there's anything to trip. I think it's a bigger deal for the Bills than it is for the Patriots.
Yo, you know what? I think it's a bigger deal for the Raiders because they're going to get hammer time this weekend.
Yeah.
The Patriots are upset.
Yeah.
But no, I feel like two of those picks were like glances off receivers' hands because Wes Walker has 16 catches for like 270 yards. But Cat not as sure-handed as people might think. First of all, he led the league in drops last year. So, you know, some stuff seemed to glance off his hands and you know, land in other people's. So it was a nice comeback, though. PJ Mann from Holland.
Yeah. Crazy part is I actually picked the Bills. I actually picked the Bills in our Pick'em League, but it was really irrelevant considering I also picked Donovan McNabb in the Vikings. But when they got down by like 21 points, I was like, damn. I was like, oh, my bad. But it was a good game. It was a very exciting game.
You know what's interesting about Buffalo? That's the second week in a row they came back from a deficit like that, though.
Yeah.
So hold up.
Real quick, before I bounce off, my bad. So are y'all saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than Donovan McNabb? And I'm out on that.
Of course he is.
All right, peace, man.
Ayo, definitely. Ayo, and you know what? He's like 150 times smarter than Donovan McNabb and his entire family. I bet you Ryan Fitzpatrick got a 49 out of 50 on his Wonderlic for whatever, however much credence you give to that. My man, smart, man. He said, I know, I'm not really a Ryan Fitzpatrick stan. Let me slow down a little bit. But it's funny, he was saying that, honestly. Yo, I was watching an interview with him, and he said, yo, honestly, I didn't even expect to go to the NFL. He said he was going to do the typical, going into a senior season, he was going to do the typical Harvard thing, which a lot of those guys who are business grads go to Wall Street. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like graduate, go to Wall Street, do like iBanking for like 3 years, and then figure it out. Make a killing, and then figure it out. Like, he was like, he didn't even plan on going to football. And then you got a bum like Donovan McNabb who's been thinking that he was going to the NFL since Pop Warner and been propped up on a pedestal, and he can't even throw a 10-yard accurate pass to somebody running faster than 6.0 in the 40 or something.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't trust Ryan Fitzpatrick because he rock a SUNY now. You can't trust him.
He don't let it grow back out to where it was last year. He got it right before the season started. Hey, one more point about Tom Brady, though, before y'all before you move on to the next game. Yo, he threw four picks and still put up 46 points in our fantasy.
Amazing. Man. Amazing.
Yo, I was just telling Monica about it. I was
amazing.
Like, yo, my man put up, he threw four picks and still outscored my quarterback.
Yo, he doing so good. The dude in our league who has him, shout out to Mike, just made the dumbest trade ever, but it ain't going to affect him because he got Tom Brady. He just gave up three people for Ben Tate.
Yo, is Tom Brady really that good, y'all? I know that's a dumb question. But
listen, here's the thing. I was talking to Dev about it this week. I was like, yo, Tom Brady is excellent, but Brad was right when he in his assessment about their offensive line. They have one of the greatest offensive lines I've ever seen. Because Tom Brady has enough time to go do a load of laundry when he hikes the ball. Like, yo.
Yo, he stands up so straight and relaxed. Watch out how
he
does.
He stands up so straight and relaxed
before he delivers the ball.
You cannot be – an NFL quarterback should not be that relaxed. Yo, dude looks like he just had a massage when he snapped the ball.
they literally can get him a chair. Like, they can just get him a chair. Like, here, sit down while you, like, make your read.
On top of that, to give him some credit, too, they're blocking for him, giving him 4 seconds, but he's also got a quick release.
Yeah.
So he might never get stuck.
Yeah.
But picture this, and tell me if this, like, sounds familiar, if y'all seen this from dude before. Like, he'll be sitting back there, and he'll be just in one spot, feet planted, doing that little bounce thing. Then he'll stop bouncing, turn, look around a few times, bounce a few times again, and then throw it. How does he do that?
It's like that commercial, and it's not him.
Because he has no wheels to make to prolong plays, so it's not him.
Right.
And then it's like this. Austin said he has a quick release, which is true, which is why a lot of teams like don't blitz him. So I thought that the Chargers tried this strategy, but they were rushing three. I'm like, come on, cuz. How are you going to rush three? And he was sitting back there just picking them apart. I'm like, come on, man. Let's move on to another game. Let's talk about y'all man, Donovan F. McNabb. The Lions won 26-23, but they were down by 20 points. That's the third straight double-digit lead blown by the Vikes. Now, I want to get you guys' opinion on why are they struggling in the second half? And it's not just Donovan F. McNabb. But it's not just that. They're play calling. Like, they're not even giving the ball to AP.
To Adrian Peterson,
I don't understand. I don't understand that.
That was awful. Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, with Jimmy, that don't make sense. First of all, because y'all been up so much in all three games. I'm not saying you go to Andy Reid route and just get extra conservative, but you got to give AP the ball if you got a 20-point lead. And let
They fast backwards, man. They run the ball to get the lead and then start throwing it all around.
I got numbers for y'all real quick. The Minnesota Vikings have outscored their opponents 54-7 in the first half of their three games thus far this season.
Damn.
But they've been outscored 67-6 in the second half of these games. How does that happen? Like, they're killing people in the first half, so they're showing you that they are a capable team. But
what you're trying to say is you're trying to say that not only can blacks not play quarterback, but they can't coach either?
I'm not even putting all this on Donovan McNabb. Now, don't get me wrong, because a lot of people out there who are probably screaming at the radio right now, he has a big part in it, though, because when these games get tight, and I watch these games purposely just so I can mess with y'all, when the games get tight, he goes into what we've been talking about for the last 11 years. I mean, somebody's coming back from 20. You got to put that on coaching. You got to put that on defense. You got to put that a little bit on everybody. But when that game gets tight and it's time for him to be the elite quarterback that he's supposed to be, it's nothing happening. There's nothing.
Why are they not giving the ball to that manimal back there? They have the best running back in the league.
Man. Yeah, in last week's game, he got the ball seven. He got 7 carries in the second half after they were up by 20.
For a 20-point lead.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
And he did one of those violent on stiff arms that he does. He got somebody with one of them last week. His stiff arm, not even a stiff arm. He, like, clubs you to the side like Reggie White used to do tacklers. I mean, blockers. He just clubbed this dude to the side. The dude thought he was running out of bounds, and he just clubbed him and just kept running. Like,
Picks you up with his off arm and throws you. Yo,
it's not a deliberate punch like a Mai Bradshaw did with Nate Allen last week.
Yo, dude is like, he's like 6'2", 235, fast, strong. Yo, how do you stop, dude? I guess make him fumble or let him fumble.
I seen him run down the field like dude do a hip toss, looking like Triple H down the run.
Exactly, the hip toss, John.
All right,
you know
well,
the they don't get. How you not giving the ball though? That's my question. And who is their offensive coordinator?
No one. Donovan.
It ain't the ball like Mike Tice or somebody, is it?
I think he's been
like demoted. I think Tice is just like a positional coach now.
He's a rich coach.
I don't know. You might be. I mean, I Google it real quick.
No, I don't.
I
know he's on the sideline. I just wasn't sure. He might be the helmets coach or something, like the helmet organizational coach.
You can't
make it.
He's the offensive line coach, I think. But, yo, let's talk about the Jets and Raiders game.
Oh, no,
Raiders Tyson, the game
he's with the Jags now. He's with the Jags.
Okay,
oh,
he's cool.
With the Jags?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah, he's with the Jags.
Another loser.
Okay.
Yo, the Jets Raiders, 34-24 Raiders.
I'm sorry. He's with the Bears now. I don't know where he's
going.
Oh, okay.
Right,
he's
like
got his pencil in his ear, too.
Yeah, he with the Bears.
He's going around making bad decisions.
Because they're saying he
what's
won't get involved.
Opinion, what's your guys' opinion, first off, on Darren McFadden looking like a manimal as the Raiders beat the Jets? But also, after the game, your man Joe Namath, the most overrated quarterback, you know, since we talked about overrated quarterback tonight.
Hey, Brad, let me ask you something real quick. Does McFadden remind you of Herschel Walker a little bit with the robotic run, even though he's nice with it? Like, McFadden, he got a little bit of the Herschel Walker, like, robotic run to him.
No moves.
Like,
he has no moves. He just goes fast.
Fast, though, yeah. He almost got the Herschel. Because I know Brad always bust on Herschel, John, and I was like, yo, back in the day, I always thought the ball was like a robot, but he was my favorite.
Yo, whatever direction the ball is running in, yo, that's it. Like, so if you run a toss sweep, he's just going to run out of bounds. He can't turn.
He's an android. He's not even human. Whatever way
you
tell
ever seen
him
ball try and turn, he can't turn.
like a half hour to turn and change. Yo,
he the opportunity.
Hey,
how are you that fast? How are
you
that fast with
like,
no
moves? When you look at dude, you do think of Herschel Walker, man.
That's what I was thinking. I wanted to bring that up because I was looking at this thing. I'm like, yo, I got to bring this up on the show, man. This dude reminds me of Herschel for some reason.
He's turned
Herschel
into
Walker
the beast that he
was
supposed
like
to be.
The anti Ricky
first.
Waters. Ricky Waters would jump side to side and never go straight.
And never go anywhere. Yo, Ricky would make like four people miss for 1 yard.
He said, for who? For what? I'm going to go out there and get
him.
What did you say about Joe Namath,
though? I thought he wasn't going to live up to the hype, and he actually, he's playing pretty well, man. He's a beast, McFadden.
Who's that?
Yo, I agree.
McFadden's going to be hurt in 2 weeks, though. Like, his thing has never been his talent. It's always about him remaining healthy. I mean, it's like, he's sort of like Frank Gore in a sense. Like, Frank Gore has never been about talent. It's always about, like, can you stay healthy? The same thing with McFadden.
Yo, I agree with everything that Broadway Joe said, but because he wore pantyhose on national TV, I can't condone it.
Okay, got you.
But
let me give you a comment,
because people might not know what he said. He was like, okay, after the Jets loss, he said, it wasn't disheartening, so to speak. It's rather alarming is the way I'm looking at it. It starts at the top. Coach Rex Ryan, I think, has been doing a great job getting to 2 AFC championship games. But if there's one thing about the athlete, if you keep telling him how good he is, he's going to start believing it to the point that he may not be preparing, not quite the way he should. He may be losing some respect for the other team. So that was his comments about, you know, after the game.
I mean kind of insightful for an alcoholic. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm impressed. But
I want to kiss you, Susie. No, but seriously, I think, like Austin said, if you really look at his comments, they are kind of insightful because you think about it, Rex Ryan does instill a level of confidence in his team where it may lead into a dangerous area of complacency. But at the same time, like, you know who you're playing with. So if I'm on that team and Mark Sanchez is my quarterback, I'm never going to get too overconfident. Not to just take a shot at Mark Sanchez, but
you know what,
that's
a good point. Yeah. That's a good point you make. And not to compare, like, not to saying Belichick, and I know, Brad, you don't really give him too many props, but, I mean, one thing that they were saying about him as a coach is he always made a reason for you to believe that the other team that you was playing was better than you. Like, in other words, like, you, I mean, you as a player know they're not better than you, but probably. But, I mean, he's still giving you, you know, instilling these things in your head, telling you how they can beat you, what they do well, So you need to be on your game versus with Rex is like that was saying, all he's telling you is how we're going to beat their ass, we're going to kick their ass around, we're going to knock them here, knock them there. And that's great, but I mean.
And if you're
like
as, you know, charismatic as Rex, your players, you know, they're going to eat up everything you say. So they start to think like, yo, this other team, they garbage, man. We just show up. But I don't. But the only thing I don't agree with the comments, I don't think that it's time for that yet. Okay, they lost one game, and they were up in the game. You know, they lost one game, so I don't really think it's time to make these kind of comments. You know, three, 4 weeks down the line, and they're not, you know, they're underachieving, then maybe this has better context. But what he said wasn't bad, but saying it already, I'm like, yo, they lost one game.
Yeah, I agree.
I totally agree with that. And the thing is like, the way the Jets are built, they remind me of one of them old-school NBA teams that the season's just damn too damn long for them. Like, they're built for the playoffs in a sense. Like, he's a better coach, and the team is, like, built for that short run. And, you know, they're going to lose games in the course of this season. They're not going to, like, be a dominant regular season team, so to speak. But they're built for the playoffs, so. And Joe Namath needs to shut up.
What else is happening?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Anyway, next thing I want to talk about after your man Joe Namath is the Redskins Cowboys, if you want to call that a game. you guys see, I ain't going to lie to you, I cut it off. I mean, it was horrible, but your man Tony Romo's performance, and also D'Angelo Hall, he criticizes the coaching staff, and, you know, I mean,
actually,
what you guys think of this game here?
I don't know me, I'm sort of a purist, so. You know, the field goal battle wasn't too bad for me. I like to see good defense, even though it wasn't always good defense. You know, it was just, like, on the Cowboys side of the ball, like, it was just sloppy play. Like, the center didn't know what he was doing. It looked like Andre Garrard in there all over again with the bad snaps. Then you had the receivers not knowing where to line up. But all of this, whether it was really true or not, made some people look at him in a better light because he looks like the hero. He looks like the soldier in it all because though he didn't have a great game, you know, at the same time he's out there teaching, he's out there getting hit, he's out there, you know, recovering fumbled snaps for some reason. And I'm going to shut up after I ask y'all this, but is it me or does Tony Romo, does fumbles always just bounce back into this dude's hands or what?
That's a heck of a point. Yeah. He does. I don't know what's up with him, but now that I think about it, yo, he has a knack for the. How does the football, as oblong and weird shaped as it is, always bounce back to him though?
No, PJ, it bounces back to him where he can continue the play. It's not like it bounces back to him and he falls on it. You know, it bounces back like right in stride where he was running and enjoying pass the ball.
The laces bounce right back to his fingertips.
He definitely has a nice handle.
Yeah,
he does. But you know what's funny? I was watching. I was thinking the same thing. Because at the game, since it was not a lot of scoring at all, it was like a field goal battle, I was watching, and I'm like, I'm assuming this is going to open up at some point. Like, at some point it's going to open up. So I was watching, like, with intent and expectation that things were going to change, but they didn't.
Like,
I mean, I wasn't. Right. I wasn't upset with the game. But I tell you what, when the center was snapping the shotguns off of, apparently, he was saying that some of the Redskins were barking out fake cadences, and he was thinking that was Tony Romo saying, you know, whatever the count was on 4-3, whatever. He was thinking that was him, but it was hilarious. At one point, Tony Romo was like, look, he just started rambling on the ball. Like, I think it was his third time. He's like, yo, what is you doing, bro? Like, you don't know my voice? It was funny, but you made a good point about what Romo was doing. It was like he was the leader of the team, and he was playing with like the third string of everything. He was just holding it all together, like so.
Yeah, because I'm one of those people. I never like I don't think Romo's bad anything. I kind of think the criticism that he gets, just me watching, I don't really get all of that. You know, his fourth quarter woes and stuff. I mean. You know, we're the crew who preaches that numbers don't tell the whole story, but if you do want to look at numbers like a lot of these people out here want to do, Akil gave numbers that proves that Romo's actually one of the better fourth-quarter quarterbacks and better with fourth-quarter comebacks and stuff like that. I just don't see – I just think – I mean, it's what people think we always did to McNabb. I guess when they lose, people just want to blame it on Romo, but it's just not Cowboy fans. It's everybody. But I think that comes from Cowboy hatred, so – I don't know. I never thought he was bad in the first place. So
yeah, I mean, it's sort of like how you know, Peyton was before the bowl. He put up these crazy numbers. We know he's good, but it's going to take for Romo to win a bowl before that criticism
before
goes
that
away.
Respect.
I mean, the bar is just set high for him. I mean, you know, it's a kind
of
embarrassing time. But
America's
the bar is set high for
well,
him. Yeah, you play for the Cowboys.
Having been a fan of an NFC East team and having watched Romo now for about six seasons, I will say, you know, the Tony Romo comments I make are just because he's a cowgirl. Like, dude is good. And there's been times when he's been the best quarterback in the NFC East. I wouldn't put him in that top tier, but he's right below it. And he definitely doesn't throw up in the clutch. He doesn't throw bounce passes. And he's got the eye of the tiger. He'll play with a broken rib where some guys will throw a pick and fall down, fake a knee injury, set the media up. Yo, he doesn't do any of that. Dude,
yeah,
just,
no.
Yo, he balls.
I mean,
he's a little bit happy-go-lucky.
Look, man, he's like Eli Manning, man. I don't know my Eli Manning good. Young, but I got a lot of respect good. After watching him play with the dudes he played with. But
I think Tony Romo might be the best quarterback in the NFC East right now, to me. I mean, if you're talking about in the total body of work, not that – I mean,
I'm
now
on,
Eli
I'm
does
I'm taking
Eli.
Well, it's definitely between them two, if it ain't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would take Eli, man, because Eli, like, yo, it's like me and Devin, we had a conversation before, and I was like, if Eli had the attitude that Phillip Rivers did, like, they had the same exact game, but just had that whole fiery attitude, yo, they would be putting dude in the top five of the league. Like, dude,
told you, people read into body language too much. And, you know, everybody's different, man. You know, you got psychologists writing books about hand language and body language, and they think they can tell you what everything means, but, you know, it doesn't mean the same for everybody. Like, Eli just looked like a doofus, but that don't mean he garbage.
No,
yeah,
you know,
not garbage.
I think a lot of people came down on Eli from last year because he had a lot of interceptions
last year.
Some years he'll have, but, I mean, he also does have a lot of touchdowns, too.
It's still unfair. Yeah. I mean,
he had, like, 30 last
right.
year.
Like,
They don't mention that part.
Brett Favre threw 36, and he has one bowl. Eli has one bowl, so it's still kind of unfair. Peyton Manning threw damn near 30 picks a couple times.
Yeah, I remember last
what
year,
I'm
because
is,
it was a big deal, I went back and watched, and at least six of those picks came off somebody's hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of them, I mean, it's still a lot to throw if you throw, like, you know, six.
But
still
it might be a result of him playing in New York as well. That could be another thing,
One of the things that we need to address is as the rate of passing goes up in the NFL, you're going to have inflated interception numbers because, as we know, it's a copycat league. So you got teams that will drop somebody back, you know, 30, 40, now it seems even 50 times, who doesn't belong being dropped back that much. You know, and this is no knock to Cam. I'm not knocking him. But as a rookie, you shouldn't be dropping him back 48 times, even though he's able to get 400 yards out of it. Eli Manning shouldn't be dropped back as many times as he gets dropped back, not because he's a bum, but because the talent around, he doesn't have Plexico anymore. And they've got decent running backs. I mean, they have the tiptoeing bandit, and they got Bradshaw.
Eli always have a new favorite receiver every year. He works with what he got, and he's successful. But real quick, before you move on to the next game, shout out to Kevin Lang on our Facebook page. He said, Jimmy need to stop clowning my Raiders. He said he'll let the game against the Patriots do the talking for him, though.
Well, you've been talking about Adam Raiders talk to them Broncos.
Look, man, we're going to leave that alone right now. Shout out to Kev, though. But, yo, last thing I want to say is that in terms of the whole Eli argument, I would definitely take him as being the best quarterback in the NFC East. And Austin, to your point about quarterbacks dropping back so much, that's what's so crazy about Favre throwing 30 picks at a time where he only had less than 30 attempts per game. That shows you just how horrible he was. But anyway, let's talk about the Eagles game in general. Let's talk about the Eagles game in general. What do you guys think about Deshaun's comments? After we talk about this, let's get into the main topic. But Deshaun's comments.
Toss the defense under the bus.
Try to pull him out.
Did he learn that?
Life.
He learned that
he named
from
positions,
or...
too. He named positions, said he was, like, disappointed in the secondary because he know those guys can do better than that. then, like I said, he, like Austin was about to say, he threw him under the bus, but then he tried to pull him back out before the tire ran over him, because then he started acting like he was taking account for the whole team, including himself. But when you catch two passes in a game and you don't really help, I don't think you need to be saying anything. First of all, you shouldn't be throwing your teammates under the bus on TV.
Man, he was really talking about Nnamdi, because Nnamdi got his ass busted. Nnamdi took that money that he thought he was getting.
Yeah, so I think it has something to do with what the secondary makes in comparison to him, because he called them
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Y'all getting more money than him.
But I ain't going to spend much time on that, so y'all can throw a barb at dude. We can get into the real conversation. Cause I
but let's talk about the real conversation in terms of your man Michael Vick and his complaints about the hits that he took. Now, I gave my opinion not so much on the hits, but the people saying that he doesn't have a right to complain because he was given a second chance, and I think that's stupid,
right.
But...
I agree with Jimmy. That's ludicrous, what you just said. But then you got the other side of the coin, where I think a lot of people went in on this blindly and just agreed with what he said just because they wanted to agree with what he said. Now, I reserve my opinion because, remember I told you, I'm like, on Facebook, I'm not going to even speak on it because I'm going to go back and actually watch the film. I went back today, and I might start sounding a little agitated, because this was a big waste of my time. I went back today and watched the film, play by play, every offensive play the Eagles had. I have jotted down every time he got hit. Not getting hit legally, I mean, not illegally, just every time he got hit, even if he was scrambling, sacked, hit, anything. I'm going to run it down for y'all real quick. I'm going to try to be quick. First quarter, when he threw the interception at the 8:48 mark to Ross, he was, popped by Tollefson. He was popped by Tollefson after the interception, but it wasn't illegal because Vic was actually running towards the play like he was going to make a tackle like he did in the preseason. So he's fair game at that point. Like it gets a little shaky when the quarterback's way out of the way and he's trying to get out of the way and somebody just nailed him just because he's the quarterback. But that wasn't it. He ran towards the play, got hit. First quarter, he got sacked at the 2:23 mark by Pierre Paul. On this play, he definitely held on to the ball too long. He jumped back and to the left instead of stepping up into the pocket, which was wide open at the time. And, you know, he took the sack, but it wasn't like a big hit. He just got sacked. Second quarter, completion to Avant inside the Giants 10. He held on to the ball a little bit long and got hit as he threw the ball, but it wasn't illegal. It was just a hit, and I think that's the hit that they keep showing on television. When he lets the ball go and then dude just kind of nails him, he didn't go helmet unless I didn't see the helmet. Did y'all see the helmet on that play?
Yeah, I did see the helmet, and the helmet did. It wasn't like a horrible hit, but it definitely was contact helmet to helmet.
Okay.
Was it one of those things, because if you hit a dude in his chest,
his natural motion, like if you get, you know, his natural motion, his head's going to whip forward. So I don't see how people's helmets aren't going to touch in that type of situation.
Yeah, but we'll talk about it. But finish giving your breakdown so that we can weigh in on it.
All right, second quarter, he got hit twice when he fumbled snaps, and both of them turned into rushes. Remember, he fumbled the snap, picked it up, and had to run. So that wasn't, you know, that was just getting hit because you're running back at that point. Third quarter at the 8:24 mark, he fumbled on another scramble, and it was picked up by PJ's boy, Peters. Third quarter at the 6:01 mark, he had a completion to Macklin. Now, this was like a short roll to the right after, matter of fact, I'm sorry, this is the play that they keep showing. He faked the handoff, rolled a little to the right, completed it to Macklin, and 99, who is that? Is that Pierre?
Ante.
Okay, he hit him, and that's the one where I'm like, okay, that one was the only one that might be, but y'all, if y'all look at how where he was when he threw the ball, he couldn't help but to hit him. So he was going to get hit on that play, but it's a matter of, you know, whether it was helmet to helmet or not. It's almost over because he left the game shortly after. Third quarter, 2:37, a QB sneak from the one-yard line that we didn't get in on. He did get face masked in that pile. He kind of got brought down by his face mask, and there was no call. They did call all sides on the Giant. And then third quarter at the 2:23 mark, he had an unsuccessful quarterback sneak. You know, that's just another time he got hit trying to sneak. And he played one more possession and didn't get hit at all. And I really made an assessment in this game because I didn't really pay attention to it that much while I was watching, but the offensive line actually played very good in this game. And I didn't know that until I watched the film today. Like, they played very good in this game. My only thing with him, the comments that he made were, I was on the ground all the time, and I wasn't getting the calls. He was not on the ground in this game. He was on the ground when he got sacked that one time, and then the hit that they keep showing. Those were, like, the only two times that he was actually on the ground after a lot of times he had clean throws and was nobody around him.
Dev, I think when he says I'm on the ground all the time, I think it's the culmination of the three games, not just that one game.
Okay. I think it's even deeper.
I think it goes back to even the end of last season when he said he's always in the ground. But no,
right.
This was an issue.
Yeah, they were complaining a lot last year. Yeah, they were complaining.
Can I kind of weigh in? Because I think that, you know, through watching him in Atlanta, you know, I didn't care about the dude. He was just a fast primate, you know, that we always saw in the playoffs and beat him into submission. But the one thing that I appreciate about the dude is, number one, his immense athletic talent. Number two, now working with Andy, number one, he's humble. He seems to have humbled himself, and he wants to really learn the quarterback position. I don't know. I don't know what his capacity is to really be successful at it, but I appreciate the fact that he's trying. And then three, there's something about the way they train athletes in Southern Virginia. Yo, they take their sports serious. Like, they don't allow you to play football or basketball or run track if you're a coward. And so dude is like, yo, he's not the brightest Christmas tree, brightest light on the Christmas tree, but dude is definitely, you know, he's not a coward. He's trying to die on the field. So all those points made, I think what ends up happening with him is he's so athletic, it's kind of like Shaq during his prime. How do you officiate Shaq? Is it a foul? Is it not a foul? I don't think it has to do with him being a quote-unquote black quarterback. I don't think it has to do with him being a dog killer. What I think it has to do with his style of play. You've never had an athlete of his caliber play at the quarterback position. This dude, for God's sake, came into the league and ran one of the fastest 40 times ever. And he still, even having lost a step, is faster than any other quarterback by leaps and bounds. And
Real quick, go ahead. I kind of get what you're saying, because there are instances where he probably gets favorable non-calls that other quarterbacks wouldn't get, because he is difficult to officiate. And I'm talking about rules like in the grasp. Like, there was a play when Kafka, when they stopped the play because they just had Kafka by the legs, they may have extended that play a little bit if it was Vic, just to see if he would get away. But then at the same time, if he doesn't get away and he gets hurt, then Andy and everybody's probably going to be complaining about it, where the ref was really just trying to give you leeway because you get out of stuff like that.
How do you officiate a superior athlete, and at the top of their games, if you think back through history, all of the superior athletes, it's very difficult to apply the rule books and officiate them because they have such a superior advantage. So I think that a lot of times with Vic, now you throw one more thing in, and then I'm gonna get a mic up, but you throw one more added thing into this. He's trying to play the game at a cerebral level, which means he's got a lot of thoughts going on in his mind. This is the first time in his life he's ever called his own protection. This is the first time in his life that he's reading secondaries, reading coverages, reading blitzes, and actually audibling and making the decisions on the field under center. So all of these things in his mind, what I see on the field is Michael Vick is trying to think the game as opposed to play the game. These things aren't second nature to him. So he's holding on to the ball. He's not as confident, not necessarily in his athleticism, but in what his eyes are seeing. And so you couple all of those things, he's getting hit because he's holding on to the ball too long because he's thinking instead of reacting. And he's trying to be – so this is what we're seeing is the maturation, the growing pains of him playing the quarterback position at another level with his mind. So I don't think it's – you know, you combine that with – the fact that he's so athletic, how do you officiate that?
I got a question for y'all real quick.
I think I just want to say about what you just said, Austin. I like your analogy of Shaq because that's exactly what it reminded me of. But with that being said, like, I find it funny people say he holds onto the ball too long. Like, I mean, that may be true, but if you get it hit late, doesn't matter how fast you let go of the ball, late is late.
That's kind of what I'm saying, though, Jimmy. A lot of these hits he was taking weren't late. And that's what I wanted to ask y'all because everybody – well, let me throw this, the number out first. If anybody want to call in and talk to us about this, 323-410-0012. Just press 1, put your hand up, and we try to get you on.
Here's my thing. I was saying that late is late. I said, but with that being said, I don't think that a lot of it was dirt. I mean, watching the game, I actually made a comment like, yo, they just throwing him to the ground after he let the ball go. And the reason I say that is because I'm watching the NFL ticket, and I flipped through other games, and I watched a play specifically with Matt Ryan where it was nowhere near what happened to Vic. He got a 15-yard penalty. I watched the game with the Rams quarterback.
But are you talking about this week? Because I swear, I saw every offensive play. I didn't
this
see him
week
get thrown
the Buccaneers,
to the ground.
The Buccaneers.
No, I'm talking
Atlanta
about this
game.
Week with. I'm talking about this week with Vic getting thrown to the ground because I don't recall a play where he got thrown to the ground.
I'm talking about
the one play
they've been showing on TV. I saw a play that was nowhere near that. I saw a play where they pushed Matt Ryan on his shoulder and the ref threw a flag out and like Raheem Morris lost it. I was watching the game like yo, like
well, here,
you know.
Before
so,
I ask the question to y'all that I wanted to ask. Okay, PJ, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think everything that y'all are saying is correct. I think one thing, too, is that Michael Vick is not an anticipatory thrower. So he doesn't throw where receivers want to be. He wants to throw where he can see you when you're open. And a lot of it, too, is a lot of our offensive plays are downfield versus, like, with the Patriots, where a lot of them are bang-bang things.
Yeah.
Right, so he's holding on to it. And just like Brad was saying about his athleticism, what I noticed about Vic is he's always trying to make the big play. He hates to throw the ball away. So say the play breaks down or he even shuffles anyway, you know, from side to side in the pocket, it's like he does wait kind of long to let the ball go because he's just waiting for something to happen. And I think he's waiting a little bit too long because it's crazy because he does get hit. But here's the thing. If you're a defender, I think you still are given the one step. Now, you don't need to hit the guy in the head or hit him in his knees, but you can still hit him if you're one step away. So if he stops him then, he's trying to wait and move around. Yeah, if he's trying to move around, right, and say he's trying to wait for Deshaun or Macklin or somebody to break off the pattern or something, he's still waiting. So when he finally does throw the ball, I feel like the defenders are right there regardless. So now, if he gets hit in the head, that should be a flag. But if he's kind of throwing it real late because he's waiting for something to happen.
I hear what you say, PJ, but at the end of the day, like, my thing is not just this one game. If you look at, say, the last five games, like the three and the two he played last season, it's like, that's sort of like the book now.
That's my question to you,
Jim. Whole body. Huh?
That's my question to you, though. Since, I mean, like, seriously, I really couldn't find anything in this game. And the play that they keep showing, the dude is so tall compared to Mike Vick. I don't think there's, like, the way he pushed, I don't really think there was a way that their helmets weren't going to touch at all.
That hit wasn't dirty.
Listen, this is my question I've been wanting to ask you, because Jim keep bringing up the fact that it's an accumulation. My only question is, okay, then why did it boil over in a game where you really didn't get hit at all besides that one good time?
Frustration.
Was it because we lost and it was frustration? Or was it because his hand got hurt and he was just frustrated?
Well, it's a couple things. First off, he's frustrated that they lost. Because the one thing you can't say about Mike Vick, and I guess it's also a situation after watching Donovan for so long, you finally see somebody that wants it. Like, it's written all over this dude's face. He wants to win. So he's frustrated after the loss. And it's also a situation where that one play, even though you can say it's only one play, I mean, he got hit in the head. And it's also an accumulation thing. And when you look around the league, I mean, the bottom line is they do treat him different. I'm not saying it's a race thing. It could be it could be his athleticism. It could be because of like dogs. None of us know why that is. But the bottom line is he's treated different.
I mean, even if it was a one play thing, I just didn't understand the comments because there were, I mean, comments where he specified that he was on the ground a lot and he wasn't getting a call. And he was talking about this particular game. That's the only thing I can't see the correlation between that. So maybe it was a frustration thing, and then the lips just got kind of loose talking about
and
things that happened
like
in the past.
Let me ask you a question.
Wasn't on the ground a lot last week.
How many games did he play last season?
11.
Yeah, played 11 last season, yep. And like what, 3 so far? This is his 14th
last
game.
Season,
has there been one game out of them 14 games where they haven't brought up what has happened about him getting out of jail? Like, I'm so sick and tired of hearing it. Like every time he makes a play, it's like Mike Vick out of prison. Like that irritates me too. This is like going real way off target, but he's treated so different. That when I watch the Steelers game, I mean, Ben has a lawsuit still going on to this day, but you never hear anything about that. And again, I'm not saying it's a racial thing. I'm not playing a race card, but Mike
As far as the calls go, Austin, the next day when he made the complaints, the Four Letter Network actually put out a little factoid. They said since the start of last year up till game 3 this year, because these are all the players that people say, if it was such and such, he would get these calls. They said Mike Vick has drawn more 15-yard penalties than Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady combined.
Right.
Now, at the same time, that's a big stat.
Yeah,
at the same time, his style of play is different. So he's going to draw more. So we kind of got to know the hit-to-flag ratio before we take
that really seriously.
But it's still something that a lot of people didn't know, because when you throw that out there, I didn't know that, and a lot of people just got quiet because they didn't have the deductive reasoning to, think about the ratio and that.
Yeah,
that
but I've also
saw
one of the football writers from Yahoo broke it down, and like the majority of them are not even in the pocket. That's with him running and like trying to go out of bounds. Remember last year he was running out of bounds, and he was throwing dude into like the Gatorade.
Yeah,
and that's what Mike said.
Mike said
happening when I'm in the pocket. He's like, because I think he's saying, I understand when I'm out the pocket, but he's saying it's happening when I'm in the pocket. I got a question I got a question for y'all about this injury. This is the second week in a row he done left the game. Now, I want to know if y'all think this boy is a coward and all that stuff y'all called Cutler last year. This boy left the joint because of his non-throwing hand. Now, I'm not saying he is, because y'all know how I feel about it. I don't really judge people's threshold of pain, but he ended up having a bruised hand, and it wasn't his throwing hand, and he left what was, it wasn't the NFC Championship, but it was a big divisional game. So y'all look at him anywhere like y'all looked at Cutler?
Can I respond first? Because I'm a little different. I'd like to respond, and I kind of want to – I know the question is about Cutler. Jimmy, you got to answer. I want to take Cutler out of it. Just looking at Mike Vick, I get the feeling that he wanted to and was willing to go back in that game, and they weren't allowing him to. I don't think that it was his decision not to play, and I think people didn't give Cutler the benefit of the doubt. They don't know whether it was a coach's decision or whether it was his. They just looked at his face being blank.
No, Austin, people say that, but no, he did go back into the game after halftime, after they told him that, we might as well just wrap it up, because he had the knee, and he wasn't playing good on the knee, so they basically like, you're not helping us. But he went back in for another couple series and then, went out again. So, Lovie Smith said that. So I don't know if he was protecting his player or if it was real, but he did try to go back into the game, which Vic probably tried too. I'm just asking. I don't think
Vic one of them dudes, you gotta hide his helmet.
Yeah, I would say no. I mean, I would say no just because of the fact that I didn't see him necessarily using that hand after he was supposedly out for it. So now I know Cutler wasn't using his leg in the same capacity that he would have if he was dropping back. But, I mean, to be up and down the sideline, I don't know. That's how I look at it. And plus, you know what? It's funny because it's not accurate, but sometimes you just base it off of the person and what you've seen from the person and what you think.
Yeah.
AI, for example, if he couldn't go into a game, you would just assume, he really can't do it regardless of what it is. You might give him the benefit of the doubt because of the type of player he is. I don't think Vic is that way, but he's similar to that. Cutler, I'm not saying that he's not. Cutler's tough in a different way. Like Deb, you pointed out, dude gets beat, stepped on, kicked on, sat on. And he keeps coming. He just always feels regardless of what he's trying or not, he still does try.
If it wasn't for what happened last season, he would have already quit. He just don't want to hear
that. If you say that every week, Jim, I'm just not on that. I'm not on that train. I'm not on that bus with you.
You'll be on there soon. You'll see his cowardice come out.
I'm definitely with you. Like, you convinced me about him not being this elite quarterback that I thought he was turning into in Denver. But I'm never going to say – I mean, he has to show me something else for me to say that he not.
But yo, it's not even just about him not being elite because he has the physical tools. What I
saw
with Cutler is he's one of these guys that when everything's going good, he's great. But when there's any kind of like, you know, any kind of the game is close,
Donovan
McCutler, you know, you really need him. I mean, that's sort of like what it is. When they're blowing a team out, Cutler's a top five quarterback in the league.
Hold on.
Hey,
Jim.
Hurry up and make the point, Austin, because we got to finish off with a little predictions for baseball.
I'm with you because you've shown me that he's not elite, and I be watching him, and it's like, what is he doing? But, yo, dude has 300-pound men sitting on every part of his body every week at least 10 times, and he's still playing.
I mean, Austin, that's true now, but what I'm saying is
his
career
break
hasn't been that way.
He's going to break eventually.
His whole career has not been that way. I've watched him endeavor quit on games because basically the game got close. You know what I'm saying?
Is that toughness or is that just, I don't know.
I call it cowardice.
I see what you're saying.
Or just
that's
be a quitter.
That's a level of tough. That's like mental toughness. I'm talking about physical toughness. I'm saying.
Oh,
I
well,
think
yeah, well, that's two different things. I mean,
yeah, that's what
he's
I think
physically
he,
tough, but he's
I think
a mental
he's physically
midget.
Tough. Yeah, I don't know what he is mentally because you've definitely seen him more than me. But physically, that's what I'm talking about.
They're two different things. They're two different things.
All right.
But to me, the mental is more important. But let's go. Let's talk. I mean, let's leave football alone because
what,
we only got 10 minutes left, and the baseball playoffs about to start, man. So
yes, sir.
Steph, you wanna...
Hey, well, luckily Bayon and his PTR kind of recapped all the wildness that happened last night. But it's going around, and I think I probably agree just because my baseball watching history isn't as deep as a lot of older dudes. But I think last night might have been the greatest night of baseball I've ever seen in my life, yo. And I was sitting around
amazing,
all of the game. Yeah, because the situations that you had, and we probably don't have to explain this because if you don't know what the situations were last night, you've been under a rock or you just don't watch baseball. Shout out to Willie.
I've been under a rock.
Well, Austin, last night, all right, it was four very important games because the two wild cards in each league
weren't the Phillies win?
Yeah, but they don't. The Phillies were a part of this, though. They were a part of it because the Braves, who came into September with an 8.5 game lead on the wild card, were playing the Phillies. They needed to win. If the Braves won, the Cardinals won, the Rays and the Red Sox won, there would have been two games tonight, one game playoffs to get into the playoffs. So the Cardinals handled business early. They played the stinking Astros. They beat them down. So the Braves needed to beat the Phillies. So the Phillies, with nothing to play for, you know, was out there balling with the Braves, came back from a deficit, and ended up beating them in 13 innings. Crazy game, crazy ending. And then you flip over to the AL, where the Yankees were burying the 7-0. And the Orioles were losing to Boston. So it looks like Boston's getting in the playoffs and the Rays aren't. The Rays come back to beat the Yankees on a walk-off home run by Longoria. And what inning was that, y'all? Because that went to extras too, didn't it?
That was about the 13th around there, somewhere around
there? It was like 11, 12, something like that.
11,
well,
yeah,
it was extra
around
innings.
There.
The thing is, this happened 5 minutes after the Orioles came back and beat the Red Sox with two. They were down one, and they had two out, two strikes in the ninth inning, got two runs to beat them. They saw it on the board in Tampa. All the crowd got hyped because they figure, okay, the Red Sox lost, so even if we finish this game off and lose this game, we got the playoff game tomorrow. Longoria steps to the plate like 2 minutes later, hits a walk-off home run, and the Rays make the joint. So Boston and the Braves were a part of, like, two of the biggest collapses in history, and they're not going to the playoffs. And it's all crazy because in the process, the Phillies winning that game won their franchise record, 102nd game, and Charlie Manuel last night became the all-time winning this Phillies manager with 646 wins. And all of this,
damn,
and it ain't even the playoffs yet. It ain't even the playoffs yet. So we're going to get y'all predictions before we get off the air tonight. We got
all I want to say is that would have been so much better if it wasn't the Devil Rays because they have the most fraudulent fan base in all of sports.
Yeah.
As a matter of
fact,
the whole state of Florida is a bunch of frauds. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
and we were arguing with Floridians today, and they giving us this boo-hoo, woe is us, economy, blah, blah, blah. Well, they ask can afford playoff tickets, and playoff tickets more expensive than regular game tickets. And they're not watching on TV because, Jimmy, after that, I found a stat. I was researching. I found a stat where their TV numbers, their ratings are down 37% this year. So you're telling me they can't afford TVs down there in Tampa either? Third world country there. All right, let's get these predictions real quick. We got the Tigers and the Yankees. Who y'all got? Just throw them out because we ain't got that much
Tigers.
Tigers and the Yankees. I think you're saying that because you just don't like the Yankees, but it's
of course
you know it's very probable that it could happen.
Yeah,
Austin, Tigers, Yankees.
The Yankees gonna win that.
How many games y'all think? Because you know these are 5-game series.
Three.
The Yankees will win that in 4.
Okay. I'd say
this
one is difficult because I think the Tigers and the Yankees are the best two teams coming out of that side. So I think whoever wins this series is actually going to represent in the World Series, but I'm going to go ahead and say the Yankees in 5. I'm going to say
the
Yankees.
But Detroit has a bad economy. Detroit has a bad economy, so therefore the fans aren't going to show up.
Right. Austin,
yeah,
I mean,
Yankees in 4.
Yankees in 4.
Tigers in 5.
All right, Rays Rangers. I think I'm going to go ahead and go with I think the Cinderella story might continue for a little while. I got the Rays in a dramatic 5.
Got the Rays in 4.
I don't know if y'all remember the night before last night, for them to even get in that situation where they could end up in the playoff, they had a triple play to basically win the game.
Yeah.
They're like a team of Green Bay Packers, man. Remember the Packers ain't lost since like last Thanksgiving, cuz. Remember they win all them games?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Rays in 4.
I got the Rays in 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the Rays, I think that, like you said, Dev, I think this is a chance of a Cinderella, so I got them in 5.
Yeah. Austin, Rays, Rangers?
Yeah, we got Rays in, 4 because the Rangers gave Alex Rodriguez all that money.
Yo!
He was worth it when they gave him that money. That was like 18 years ago. All right, we got in the NL, we got the Diamondbacks and the Brewers. I got the Brew Crew in 4. Prince and Braun going to keep doing what they're doing. I got the Brew Crew in 4.
I got the Brew Crew as well because I've never seen a blacker team in Milwaukee in my life.
And because of that, I got the Brewers in 3.
Yo.
Three.
Why does Cecil Jr. have all them neck tattoos, yo?
I don't know.
I'm going with Cecil.
1 minute left.
Cecil's
right.
Son.
And then we got the Cardinals and Phillies.
Come on, son.
I got the Phillies in 4. I got the Phillies in 4.
Got us in 5.
I got the Phillies in 3.
Sweet.
I got the Phillies in 4. Although I'm like scared. I ain't want to play the Cardinals.
No, I was kind of thinking like who would I rather play?
I'd rather
play the
Cardinals
or the Braves.
Yeah, I would rather play the Braves.
You know, like, where you know the Braves because they're in your division and all, but at the same time, the Braves know you because you're in the division.
That's true.
Real quick, at the beginning of the season, didn't I say that the Boston Red Sox wasn't going to be nothing?
What do you mean nothing? Did. They lost in the last game of the season, and they had the biggest collapse.
What do you consider nothing?
Yeah, they had the biggest collapse in history to not make the playoffs by one game. What are you talking about?
I said they wasn't going to make the playoffs.
No, you just said they weren't going to be nothing.
All right, let's move through this because unless you just want to do the first round,
baseball,
we'll do the first round and come back to this.
Only 4 people make the playoffs in each league, so that's not really hard to, you know.
That ain't hard to be, but still.
Yeah,
you want to do the rest of the predictions after they play some games? Because we're running out of time now.
Yeah, no, we're only doing the first round now. We do it round by round.
Yeah, I mean, I might have rather play Atlanta. I mean, you know. But it is what it is. We got to go to the Cardinals. They act like Atlanta ain't in America. They don't give a
fuck. Get out of here. I got some good music.
You already know. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the War Room this evening. Special shout-out to the callers, chatters, Facebookers, and tweeters who chimed in on tonight's topics. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another edition of your favorite show. We'll be doing what it is that we do. Have a happy MLB and NFL weekend. This is the
We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Let's go.
Out.
Get out.